Blog Talk Radio.
Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to see another day. Thank you, Father, for allowing us an opportunity to come before you. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for our sins, that you cleanse us of all our evil ways, that you keep your spirit upon us. Every day that we have life within us, we ask, Father, that you continue to guide us, continue to lead us, continue to grow us, continue to perfect us, Father, into the men and women, the sons and daughters that you desire. Father, we ask that when we get weak, you strengthen us. Father, we ask that when we are in doubt, you give us the answers. Father, we ask, whenever we have a question, we do not know, that we come to you first and foremost, Father, seeking your knowledge, seeking your wisdom and your understanding. Father, we ask that you protect us, hedge us up, and give us the strength to endure any trials and tribulations that we go through. We ask, Father, that you continually be our Father and never forget that we are the apple of your eye, Father. Continue to be long-suffering with us, and when we go to the right and to the left, chastise us in your loving kindness and bring us back to your way. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon-coming King. Amen. All right. Welcome to Torah 101. It's Brother Daywell, my last week. Our brother Ahab picks up next week, and I had a really good week this week. You know, I was on a high from class Wednesday, Bible study class Wednesday, and, you know, Abba just had me going. I ain't let nothing bother me or anything, and it was just great. So, but it was funny because I didn't really, you know, we have sort of a plan of what we were supposed to talk about, and this week we were supposed to talk about the oneness of the Most High, but I didn't give me that. Only thing that put on my mind was in the chest and how it relates to life. So, that's what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, at one time, I was studying where chess came from, and it was a game about strategy. People actually plant wars playing the game of chess. This is something that he put on my mind, but he was showing me different things and how these pieces relate to life. You know, because on the chessboard, you had different pieces and they do different things and they have different functions. You know, everything isn't a queen, which is the most useful on the board. The pawn serves their function, the knight serves their function, the bishop serves their function. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So bear with me for a little bit. I wanted to find a chess board. I had one, but I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it. On a manufacturer chess board. Funny thing about chess is an 8x8 square. Funny thing about a chessboard, it's an 8x8 square. And that gives you 64 total places on the board where you can move. Half of the board is dark, half of the board is light. So it means there's 32 dark squares, 32 light squares. Traditionally, one of the pieces would be white, and the other pieces would be black. So you have 32 places of darkness and 32 places of light. And we learned a funny thing about the number 32. You know, when you look at it, it's talking about your mind, because that's the number when you add up the lamed and the bet. That gives you the word mind, which in Hebrew is the word leb. So when you look at the way the chessboard is set up, there's a dark half of you, and there's a light half of you, all right? Or two ways of thinking, the dark way of thinking and the light way of thinking. So you have two opposing armies on these, on each side of the board. Now, on this second rank, this is what you call, where they get the term in the army, rank and file from. It comes from a chessboard. This is your rank. I'm sorry, this is your file, this is your rank. You know, your rank is going up and down, file is going across. All right? On the second file, you have pawns. And, you know, they were in various shapes and sizes, but for the most part, these are your footstools. And the thing about a pawn is in the beginning, and it starts here. All of them have the beginning. The very first move they can move, they have the option of moving two spaces forward or one space forward. After that, they only move one space at a time. So what Abba was telling me about that is these are details. Because another thing about a pawn, these are the details of your life. Other thing about a pawn is when it gets to the eighth rank, it has the ability to turn into any other piece on the board. So it can turn into a queen, a knight, bishop, whatever. So as it goes up, or as it keeps on going up further and further into the other's army, it has the ability to cause problems because now it becomes more powerful, right? So we're going to look at something in the book of Numbers, chapter 20. And this is just about a detail, because you have the light side and the dark side. Numbers, book of Numbers, chapter 20, starting at verse 7. And it reads, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moshe took the rod from before Yahweh as he commanded him. And Moshe and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moshe lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee. So, what was the problem? Because from reading it, he did what Yahweh said, right? Mm-mm. What was the problem? He smote the rock. Yahweh said, speak to the rock. And because of that one little detail, because he was frustrated at the time, these folks was just getting on his nerves. And because of that one little detail, it caused him not to bring the people into the promised land. And Yahweh was mad with Moshe over this. You didn't sanctify me within the eyes of the people. So a detail, when it gets to a certain point, can get us into some serious issues with the Most High. Because this was not, we might look at it as a small thing, but Yahweh said, you didn't sanctify me, Moses. So because of this one action, and look who Moses was. Moses was, look at all the accolades the Most High said about him. He's the most humble of my house. He's this, he's that. I speak to him like I don't speak to any other prophet. I talk to him face to face. I don't talk to him in no dreams and parables and this, that, and another. I'm going to talk to Moses like a man talks to his brother, basically. But because of this one action, it caused him not to get into the promised land and not to bring the people into the promised land. So it's in the details. It takes a long time playing chess to get a pawn from here to there. That takes some serious time, some serious planning, because your pawns are normally the ones that's knocked off first. They really are, you know, because they're the least powerful on the board, you know. The only way they can attack and the only way they can protect is if, like, say you got this pawn here and you have another pawn here. This pawn can protect this pawn because that's how it attacks. It attacks through the next rank over. You know, it doesn't, but this pawn is unprotected. This pawn can't protect this pawn. This pawn, the one that's behind it, protects the one that's in front of it. You know? So they normally get knocked off because if they're side by side, nothing is protected. If there's a pawn here and a pawn there, they're just sitting ducks. They can't protect each other. One can't protect each other. So it has to be in the position to protect one another, all in the details. So the next piece would be we're going to talk about the position. And that's normally a little bit bigger than the pawn. You know, the way they have it drawn up in a lot of spots, it has like a little crown or a little, like something that the Pope would wear, you know. But then, in this position here, and in this position right here, so you have one to the right, one to the left of the king. You know, on this side, this would be the queen. If this is black, this would be the queen's bishop, and this would be the king's bishop, because the queen always stands on her color. So you have the bishop. And the way the bishop moves, it moves diagonally. It attacks diagonally as far as it wants. So you can move this if it's a clear path there.
you can attack all the way up to here. So if you get a bishop in the center of the board, you can attack here, 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 there.
So it's a quite useful piece if you can get it in the right position. But what Yahweh was showing me, because it attacks from such a long distance, this is your past. All right? The only thing we can do with the past is learn from it. That's it. Our past can help shape our future because we have experience. That's how we gain. All of our experience comes from past events, stuff that we've been through already. You know, even if we're going through it right now, it's the past because it's passing. It's still, it's going through it, you know. So the enemy has a way of using out against us, you know. He brings up stuff in our mind that, remember you did this, and remember you did that, and you're not this, and you're not that. He has a way of running his mouth about past events, you know, and he uses people to bring up past events to try to keep you in a place. But the same thing goes for our, because the light side and the dark side, the same thing goes for the Most High. Let's look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 38, starting at verse 1. Aki, you got the thing up. So if anybody got any questions or comments, just zap in, because we got the dashboard up. Our brother producer Yakel is on the is on the line. All right. Isaiah chapter 38, starting at verse 1. And it reads, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto Yahweh and said, Remember." So he's asking the Most High to call things back. Remember. This is stuff that this is past stuff, right? "Remember now, O Yahweh, I beseech thee, how I have walked," past tense, "before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done," past tense, "that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of Yahweh to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith Yahweh, the mighty one of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from Yahweh, that Yahweh will do the thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down." So because of past events, things that Hezekiah had done in the past, it caused Yahweh to say, "Well, you're right. You're a good dude. I'm going to give you 15 more years because you have walked humbly before me. You have done things right. You have done these things." So it works the same way the enemy can come at you. The Most High can come at you too. You know, the enemy wants to keep you trapped. The Most High says, "You got some credits back here. You didn't did good in my eyes." Ask Abba to remember those things. So that's your bishop. That's why he attacks on an angle far away. So, any questions so far? All right. Next piece we're going to talk about is the rook. And the rook. Looks like this. It actually looks like a castle. I might the worst boy ever. But it looks like a castle. And it stands in the corner. Okay, oops. Made in both corners over here. I'm going to throw that one as a black square. So, you have a rook and it looks like a castle. These are what you call, what Yahweh showed me, these are strongholds of your mind. These are your opinions. These are your opinions. These are what you think. This is how you feel on a situation. These are things that hold on, that trap you and hold on to stuff. See, but the word also said that Yahweh is a strong tower. So you can run, he said, and those that run to him are safe. That's what it says. So you have the dark side strong tower, and you have Yahweh's strong tower. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 4:4-6. Now, let me go to this. But it's a real interesting thing in the game of chess. If you haven't moved your king, where in this case, the king would be right here. Right? There is a move in chess called castling, where your knight will be here, your bishop will be here. As long as there's a clear path and you're not moving in and out of check or moving through check, check is when a piece is attacking your king directly, right? So let's say there's a clear path here. You can move your bishop out, you can move your knight out, and there's a clear path here and you haven't moved your king at all or you haven't moved your rook at all. Neither one of these two pieces can move. What you can do is your king normally only gets one step at a time. In castling, you can move your king two steps to here, and the rook comes around to this position to protect it. Now, why is that? What do we do with our opinions? We hide behind them because that's exactly what this king is doing. A lot of times, our opinions or what we think become such a stronghold that we hide behind. Think about all the times that you can talk to somebody about the name of Jesus, Easter, Christmas, yada, 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 yada. The list goes on and on and on. Eating fish, eating shellfish, and this, that, and another, where things are clearly, you don't have to interpret anything. Things are clear you're not supposed to eat these things. And what they do, I got to pray about it. I got to do this. I'm going to do that. Rebuttal, rebuttal, rebuttal. But that's what they're doing. They're hiding behind what they feel and what they want to do. Their opinion has become such a stance that I don't care what you say about Jesus, this is my Jesus. And Jesus is like right here and you supporting Jesus. But that's the same way, the same thing can be done with Yahweh. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing can be done with Yahweh. The same way, okay. The stronghold from the dark can't be moved. The stronghold from the light can't be moved, you know? But which one are you going to pick? So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 4. And it reads, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through mighty one, to the pulling down of strongholds." So the Most High has weapons. And think about it. You're attacking a castle. You're not just going to go up there with a sword and attack a castle. No, you need cannons. At the time, they had catapults. They had crossbows and all kinds of stuff because this is going to be a hard battle. But the Most High said you have weapons to do this, right? He said, and it can pull these strongholds down. He has weapons that will knock strongholds down. But the problem is that a lot of times when you knock a stronghold down, people do the castling move and build it right back up. They see the truth. They hear the truth. They know it. But they're so opinionated that it's not going to faze me. How many times have you heard, yeah, you're right, but that's them building that stronghold up because they're admitting that you're right, but, right? He says, verse 4, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through mighty one, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, big stronghold, what we think, how we feel. We learned that word was yara, ra'er, the resh and the ayin. Is that the right? For evil. How a man thinks. He said our minds think evil continuously. Our opinions, our perception, how we see things, our imagination in the Hebrew. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Mighty One, and bringing into captivity every thought of the obedience to Mashiach. So when you bring it into captivity, that's a stronghold too. He's showing the opposite. It's okay, after you knock down this stronghold, now you're captive, now you're in my stronghold. You know, the light is jumping to the door, the dark is turning to light. He has that ability, right? He says, verse 6, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So there is a time period for it. Jump out there with it, you know. You have to have, your obedience has to be filled up first before you can revenge disobedience on everybody else. In other words, make sure you're in line first. Knock down all your strongholds first before you try to knock somebody else's down. Messiah said it this way, get that mote out of your, or get that beam out of your eye before you get that mote out your brother's eye. Right? So any questions about anything so far? All right. So the next piece, which is my favorite piece, and arguably the most dangerous piece on the board, is your knight. And the knight, they normally draw it, it looks like a horse. So you want to make a little horse. Yeah, got four legs, horsey. So that's your knight. And what we're going to do, since I don't want to draw that again, we're going to put an X. So the knight starts right beside, it starts in between the bishop and in between the rook. It's the second from the end. Now, what makes this thing so unique and why I like it so much is that the way it moves, because it can attack spaces safely. So the way a knight moves, it can move two stops in any direction and then up one or down one in any direction. So it makes an L pattern. So let's say you start your knight here, right? It's starting on a white square, and this is real unique about this knight. Whatever color square it starts on, it ends on the opposite color, right? So it moves two spaces, so you can move here, one, two, and then you can go left or right, and this would be the destination of it. So from this spot, it can attack here, here, and here. But you notice it all started on a white square. Now it's attacking a dark square. And what makes it, that makes it so unique, because you can take this, you can get this in the middle of the board, and it can attack stuff that's normally not attackable. You know? So if you got a piece here, most of the things are, I can tell you how the rook moves
straight up and down as far as it wants. I forgot to tell you that. It can move any rank, any file, which is great. Because the only way you're going to be able to attack it, one, a pawn will have to be here, or a rook will have to be here. Bishop will have to be going there. But it can attack different spots. Now, you have the knight has this. The knight has this a move that people call, it's called a fork. Because what it's able to do is, since it has this unique way of attacking, it's attacking four pieces or three or four pieces at one time. Let's say you got your king here, right? And then you got your queen here. And let's say you got a rook here, right? You position your knight here. Nothing can hit it because your knight is attacking your king, which puts it in check, right? So you have to move the king. Now it has the option of killing you or you and still get out. You know. So that's why I call it the most dangerous piece on the board because of the uniqueness. So what does this represent? Yahweh told me this represents the unexpected. In your life, certain things are going to come up. Flat out, life happens. Things are going to come up. But how do you react to these things that come up? Are you going to react dark half, or are you going to react in the light half? When Hasatan throws stuff your way, how are you going to react to it? So let's look at a situation. In the book of Matthew, chapter 8, 5 through 10. And I wish I found the other one, because the other one gives more detail than this. Oops. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 7, because this is the one that gives more detail. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Yahushua, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Yahushua, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Yahushua went with them, and when he was now not far from the house of Centurion, sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thou I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me..." This isn't the one I was looking for. It was one where he was talking, and it was like, it was one when they came, it's the same story. But when the centurion came to Yahushua, he was just got finished talking to everybody, because all of the stories are a little bit different. Let me see if it's the one in Mark. See, it was one that he was so astounded at this man's faith that he was like, "All right, I'm coming. Your servant died. I'm on the way. I'm coming." And he was like, "Nah, you ain't got to come. Just say the word and he'll be healed." See, but the way they described it, Yahushua was tired.
And that kind of revived him. That might be it. Let's see. That was Luke 7, right? I stopped at, let's just start up at 3. And when he heard of Yahushua, he sent out to him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came unto Yahushua, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of him he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Yahushua went with him, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Master, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore neither thou I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he does it. And when Yahushua heard all these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not so in Israel. So this was an unexpected thing that Yahushua found. This man came to him, and a man was dying. He was dead to him. Okay, fine, I'm on my way to serve him. You ain't got to come under the roof. Say a word, and it'll be done. And this was like, whoa, the centurion gets it. Hey, y'all, I ain't find this kind of faith in Israel. I'm telling y'all. That's what he did. He turned to the people. He turned to Israel, you know, because this blew his mind. He marveled at this, you know. And then they that sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. So because of what this man did, it blew Yahushua's mind. All right, you got it. I don't even have to come into his house. So when the unexpected comes, how are we going to react to it? When these things come up, when a death comes, because my uncle just died. My uncle died a couple days ago, 2 days ago. And I know right now my son, my cousins, his sons, young boys, you know, my aunt went over to see him and this, that, and another. They over there smoking marijuana. I talked to her on the phone, this, that, and another. They're going through it, you know. They are really going through it because my uncle was there for them. That's all. He did everything a father was supposed to do. You know, no matter how hard-headed they was and this, that, and another, he stood by his kids. So now they're going through it, you know. But how are you going to react to this? Because a lot of times when stuff like that happens, you react the wrong way. So everybody, you're irritable, and people get under your skin real quick. And you go out and do something real dumb, you know, you do, because you're not in the right state of mind. The thing is reacting to you, it's getting to you. So how are you going to react to the unexpected? Are you going to shut down? Are you going to cuss people out? Are you going to pray? What are you going to do? How do you react to the unexpected? Because it's coming, you know, and it's coming from a place where you can't see it, you know. Look at the book of Job. When Job went through, which probably been a better, what's the name, all this stuff came upon him unexpectedly, and he was real strong. He was like, Yahweh gives us, Yahweh taketh away. But then as time wore on, you know, the friends came, quote-unquote friends, came unexpectedly, and Job was just going through it. But then at the end, he had good counsel from the young man, counseled him well, and he was able to come out of that rut, which leads us to the last piece, which is the queen. And the funny thing about the queen is at one time, let's say this is black, we're black, the queen sits on her color on the last rank, first rank, I should say. give a crown like that. The queen is the most useful piece on the board. The queen can move any direction as far as she wants. So, as long as it's a clear space. So, she can move as far as she wants this way, as far as she wants this way, as far as she wants that way, as far as she wants this way, as far as she wants this way. So, it is by far in a way the most useful piece on the board because it can get anywhere you need it to get to quickly. It can do what you need it to do. And the funny thing about it is that at one point, the queen was actually called the counselor because it stands right beside the king. So that's how we're going to look at it, as a counselor. So let's look at the book of Psalms, the 119, verses 9 through 16. Because we both know there's dark counsel, there's light counsel. 9 through 16. And it reads, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word." So first of all, the word is telling us something. It's counseling us. It's showing us how to cleanse our way, because man has a way. There's things that we want, hence the strongholds. There's things that we want that are not right. That imagination of man's mind is evil continually. So he says, how are we going to cleanse our ways? By taking hold, therefore, according to the word. Verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So we have to look for his way. How, with our whole heart, we have to go after it. We have to, just because the counselor is right there. He's telling us. He's telling us different things. But just because you receive information, there's a difference between receiving information and applying information. You know, applied information becomes experience. Receiving information, that's just information. You don't get anything from it until you apply it. You don't get anything. Nobody knew that electricity or heat burnt until they got burnt. Once they got, I shared y'all the story with Darius. He heard hot. He heard hot. He knew not to touch hot. But then once he touched hot, he knew not to touch hot ever again in life. You know, the information was there. Now you understand. I ain't got to ever worry about hot ever again. So, because now it's knowledge to him. It's experience to him. It's not just daddy saying hot, daddy saying don't touch. Right? He says, "So with my whole heart have I sought thee, or let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So now I'm applying, I'm holding on to this word, and I'm applying this information. "Blessed art thou, O Yahweh, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Like we just read in Romans, bringing down the strongholds, and then revenging all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Fix me up first. And then I can try to help to fix somebody else. Verse 14, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." So it has an effect on you. As long as you're holding on to that word, the light is coming, you know, because he said, "My way ain't grievous. My way ain't burdensome." You know, when you first start this journey, it might seem tedious, might seem a little hard, giving up stuff that Yahweh said, give up. But after a while, you used to. It's a delight not to have these things in your life. It's a delight not to go out there and do all, be the old you, you know. You should be enjoying the new you, you know. You should. You honestly should. Because I enjoy the new me. I'm broke, but I enjoy the new me. But any questions or comments so far? All right.
Last piece
is the king. King, as I said earlier, he can move one direction, one step in any direction, except for if he's castling, then he can move to two. He can attack any square that's around him, you know? So if anything is unprotected in any of these squares, he can take it. But he is the most valuable piece, because if he's captured, game over. That's the whole point, is to capture the game. But you try to destroy the most, kind of the most vulnerable piece, because he lacks movement. Even though he's the most powerful, he's also the most vulnerable, because pawns can attack him, knights can attack him. Everybody is trying to attack the king, you know? So, what is the king? The king is us. We are the king. And the Most High has set up all these things to protect us. The Most High has given us his pawns, which are different details within the word, to protect us. He's given us our past experiences for us to learn to protect us. He's given us the strongholds. Himself as a stronghold, hold on to me, is to protect us. So all these things is set up to protect us. Because if Hasatan captures us, the Yahweh, game over. He said, I don't want to lose none. I don't want nobody to perish. But guess what? Some folks are going to choose to perish. That's going to be their choice. They're going to leave their king unprotected. That's what they're going to do. And Hasatan is just going to come right in and say, thank you. Game over. You know? He's giving all these things to us to protect us from our enemy. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I did that over the airwaves. And it reads, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And it reads, but as it is written, I have not seen, ear not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which Elohim have prepared for them that love him. But Elohim have revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Elohim. For what knoweth a man, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of Elohim knoweth no man, but the spirit of Elohim. So, what happened is this. The Most High sat back and he watched man, right? He gave him his laws, his statutes, his judgments to protect man, to get him off the course that he was going, right? Even after getting the laws, the statutes, and the judgments, man continued on that same course, right? So he says, for what knoweth a man, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit? So what he did was took his spirit, part of his spirit, and put it inside of a man, his Holy Spirit. He already gave us one spirit, the man, spirit of a man. But then he took his own, another piece of his spirit, and stuck it inside of us. And now that spirit has to get to know this spirit. And they have to meld, and they have to mesh. So now we can know the things of the Most High. He has revealed those things by his spirit. We know what he is revealing to us. So when Paul comes along, how do we know that? Paul comes along, he says, the word says, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does he really care about oxes? Or was he talking to us? Talking about us. Was it for us, our benefit? Surely for us. Because while he loves oxes, he loves us even more. These things are given for us. Everything is given to protect us. The whole word is given to protect us, especially his Holy Spirit. So he says, the word is written, said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Why? Because the counselor is going to let us know. The counselor, as long as we're listening to the Most High, he's going to say, okay, Satan about to move his knight here, so you counter with this. The chess game is being played. Okay, Satan is about to move his knight. All right, we got that one coming. We got the bishop. Bam! He does that for us because it's a 64-square board. That's all the moves he can make is within this board. And Yahweh knows them all. Yahweh showed me that. He said, within this space, this span, this board, this life, Yahweh knows everything that Satan is going to do. Because this board is just representation of our life. He knows how he's coming at us. He sees the traps. But that's all we have. We don't listen to our counselor. You know? Last week, we defined what a counselor was. Matter of fact, I'm looking at it today. Counselor, a person trained to give guidance on personal, social, or psychological problems. So whatever you're going through, the counselor is there to help you. But what happens if we don't listen? How good is marriage therapy if nobody does what the counselor says? How good is exercise and going to the gym if nobody does what the trainer says? How much muscle are you going to build up if you're not listening? If you're not doing what's being told to you, it renders all that counsel ineffective, you know? So we just have to stay positioned within the word and hear him, hear and obey, hear and obey. You know, sometimes it takes a little longer. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but that's where the long suffering comes in. He wants us to do it, but we don't want to run his patience out with us. Because once we run his patience out with us, we know the story, captivity. You know, we don't want to become what the word calls a reprobate, you know, because even though some Ema told me, as long as they have their eyes open, there's a chance. True, as long as they're willing. But Yahweh said that your mind can, your conscience can be seared with a hard iron. These people are alive and there's no chance for them because they won't change. So we don't want to fall into either one of those categories. All right, so that's what Abba gave me about the chessboard and the chess game. Any questions or comments about anything? Yes, sir.
But I wanted to ask about the council. Going back to that, what happens if you can speak a little more when the person attempt to become their own counselor. What I mean by that, a lot of times what people feel, and this is a big issue among many people in the life of They feel as though I don't need.
All right. Okay. Here you go. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 25. Matter of fact, let's just start in. Let's start at verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 21. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, put your burnt offerings onto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So that's the first thing they're going to do, is they're going to go backwards and not forwards. Keep on reading. Verse 25. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising them up early and sending them. Paul says, how can they teach unless they be sent? That's what he said, right? Yahweh sends them. Verse 26, yet they hearken nor inclined unto me, that they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. Second thing that's going to happen, you're going to get worse than you were before. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, and they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Yahweh, their mighty one, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. So the things that's going to happen to them. One, they're going to be in a bad, they're going to go backwards. They're going to fall away from the Most High. Then they're going to get even worse falling away from the Most High. Truth is going to be cut off from them. That word is going to be cut off from them, and they won't be able to get corrected. Because he just said it. They're walking in their own imaginations. They're walking in what they think. And that's the big problem. You know, that's what's going to happen to them. That when you don't listen to the man that's sent, and you want to argue, and that this is the biggest problem with Israel, debate, and not really looking into what the word says and calling it like, this is what the word say, this is what we're supposed to do. You know, I can only accept this part of the book. I can only do this part. You argue about names, you argue about times, argue about everything. But what does the word say? Was a bee based on some grass growing, some green ears? Or was it a specific time that we're supposed to look for? And the fact that it's a time, and he set the times by the heavens, that ought to be a marker. Now they said, I share with y'all the thing about the day don't start at night, because you can't find the words Shabbat night inside the Torah. But a day is composed of a daytime portion and a nighttime portion, and the nighttime portion comes first. So what about that part? But everybody want to argue simplicity. Everybody want to argue, and it's not that it's hard, but you feel this way. It's not what Yahweh said, it's how you feel. And you go backwards and backwards and backwards. And then you're taking all these people with you, backwards and backwards and backwards. And we wonder why. No growth. How can you plant a seed, dig it up? Is it ever going to grow? Because you're digging it up. You're taking it away from everything that's nourishing it and everything that it needs to grow. You know, that's what's happening with Israel. And it's on a constant basis. So, yeah, Yahweh said, you ain't going to hear me. Because they're not hearing them. They really ain't. You read the word, and the word says something very specific. Oh, he didn't mean that. Okay. He didn't mean that. Then you ask him, explain. What did he mean? And you still don't have answers. So could it mean, could it be that he did mean when this ox is out here working for you, don't cover his mouth up, literally? Does it mean when a widow when you got a widow that's in trouble, leave the corners of the edge so she can eat and the fatherless can eat and all these can do for your brother? This is a way of keeping your brother. Does it mean that literally, or if it doesn't, what does it mean? Does it literally mean when a bird is laying, it has an egg, don't take the mother and the egg? Don't do that. Or can I just eat all the eggs I want and slaughter that bird because I like chicken and eggs? You know, what is it? What does it mean? Offer up an answer if you're not going to say, if it doesn't mean that, offer up an answer. What does it mean? Because a lot of people say, oh, it don't mean that. But then they go, well, you say, what does it mean? I know it don't mean that. And that's a problem. You know, that's a real big issue in Israel. Because they argue about everything. It's crazy. You know? Some of these things that they're arguing about is just utterly ridiculous. When we was listening to Blog Talk last night, I was reading a little post. They was arguing about the name Yahweh. They were saying Yahuwah, but Yahuwah doesn't exist. If you're looking, it's a Canaanite deity, and they worship the Canaanites. Okay, no problem. Whatever. They can worship a name, worship Yahuwah. Is it in the word? Because Yahweh, Yod, Hey, Wav, Hey, is in the word. It's there. So how are you going to say, okay, it's just Yah? It's not just Yah. Yod, Hey, Wav, Hey is in the word. How are you going to, how is this even a discussion? It's there. You know, how are you building an argument and say, well, it's the Canaanite, and if you read pre this and post that, and look at pre this people and post this people, it don't, it's there. What are you talking about? You know, I don't get it. How is this even a discussion? How is it an argument? Where in your mind, when you read this and you come across Yod, Hey, Wav, Hey, and even if you put a prefix or a suffix behind it, it's still there, you know, because it's time to say to Yahweh, love Yahweh. Amen. It's there. How do you argue that? What's the point of arguing that? I don't get it. Because clearly you see these four letters standing alone with a prefix preceded by certain words. I don't get it, you know. But you just want to argue. Some people just want to be heard, just want to be seen. And it takes – when I want to be seen, I can't show my father. When I want to be seen and I want to blow myself up, I can't show off the one who sent me. What if Yahusha said, to the point he said, don't even call me good. There's none good but the Father. Everything he did was good. He did all these, the word said, he did all these good works. He had all these good sayings. Everything he did was good. But don't even look at me. Look at my Father. That's who I'm trying to blow up. I'm not trying to blow me up. To the point where he was in, they got him in shackles. Don't you know I have the power to do this, that, and that? Guess what? You got it because my father gave it to you. That's the only reason you got it. He's still talking about the father on his way to give up his life, where he could be set free. He's still talking about his father. He wasn't trying. He never tried to blow himself up, ever. You know? But these dudes out here, look at me. Listen to this. Look at that. I got the truth. No. If you ain't reading this, you ain't got the truth. If it's not based on this, it's not the truth. You know, and you fall further and further away from the Most High. It's like that graph you showed. you know, the fall of man. And this was the graph, and it really, this one really got me, because when I saw it, I didn't really look at it that way, but it's like the perfect explanation of why such a greater work has to be done. So what we did on Raquel showed us, he was like, he drew the line like this. He's like, this is God up here, and this is Adam. And they had this connection. But then man did this. He said, so the next man has a connection here. Then the next man has a connection here. Then the next man has a connection here. But what do you see? It's harder to connect with the Most High the further you go down. And we all the way down here, so we got to come all the way up here. It's harder to connect. It is. And it's in the further, and then on top of that, it's harder to connect. And then you got your opinions on top of that. You know, you got all this stuff piled on top of that. You got Christmas on top of that. You got coming out of her on top of that. You know? And then you got, you looking at YouTube, everybody on YouTube don't agree. You're going to get 55,000 YouTube opinions. That's what you're going to get. 56,000 Twitter opinions. The group our brother in, 75,000 opinions on one subject. On one subject, you put out one verse and just do this. Put out one Bible verse and ask anybody to define what this Bible verse means. You're going to get 75 different views of that one verse. And they're going to try to go in so depth about everybody want to feel so deep. Because if you look at it this way and if you look at the WAV turns to inverts into this, that, and that. You're going to get 3,000 definitions for one word. You know, that's how it is now. Everybody wants to be smart. Everybody wants to sound like they know something. You know, but the words, Yahweh said, look, you want to be smart, be dumb. You want to be smart, be dumb. Just listen to me. How smart do you have to be to listen? That's all he's asking you to do. That's all he ever asked us to do. Listen to me. You ain't got to overthink it. What was going to happen to Moses when he overthunk? It got him out the promised land. He overthunk something. Not only am I going to stop this, I'm going to smack it twice. And it got him out the promised land because he overthunk a situation. You know, but that's what's going to happen. You're going to get about 55,000 YouTube opinions, and you're going to be confused. That's going to be your end result. You know, when you sit up there and you try to... Where in the word can you find anybody who did not get the word either directly from Yahweh or a priest or a prophet? Where can you find that? It's not in the word. That's not how he works. You just can't sit home. Furthermore, he tells you to come together. But you can't just sit home and watch TV and think you're getting the word. You can't. You honestly can't. You just can't do it if that's not how he works. You have to be around his people. You have to be around him. He called his people together to meet with him. That's the whole point of the Shabbat. From day one, Adam, first day of the life, he made on the sixth day, first day of his life, Shabbat, sit down, let me talk to you. That's the first day of Adam's life. And then every Shabbat after that, that's how it's been. He set this time up for us to receive his word. That's what he did. So no, you just don't sit home and go, well, I wonder what seer such and such is doing today. And yeah, because they're going back to the old ways. And back in the old days, they were called seers, you know. So you have seers now, and you got prophets now, and you got Moray, this dude, and everything. So that's what they're doing. But are they telling you the truth? What are they seeing? What are they prophesying? What's coming out of their mouths? Is it matching up to the word? You know, so that's what happens. You fall away from the Most High. You can't do it. You know, if you seek the law at the priest's lips, go see the priest. Go see the man who the Most High put his word into his mouth, because that's what you find written in his words. You know, that's what you find. But any other questions or comments about anything? Okay, and that ends my 6 weeks. And, oh, shalom, huh? You will be picking up next week.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right. So, thank you for joining us. How about since you walked in? Right on time.
Hallelujah.
Close us out, bro.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Todah Rabbah Yahweh. We thank you, Father, for the Shabbat. We thank you for this lesson that the brother gave us, Father. Help us to really understand what it is that we face, not just externally, Father, but internally, Father. The continual battle we have within ourselves, Father, as Paul put it, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, Yahweh? We look for your deliverance, Father. We look forward to your salvation, Father. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for the strength that you give us, O Yahweh, every day, Father, to overcome and to become Yisrael through the name of thy son, Yahushua, Father. We ask, Father, that you bless this Shabbat day, Father, with peace, with love, with unity, Father, and with some good word. We pray for our brother, Sethuel, who is our teacher today, Father. Keep him from any hurt, harm, or danger as he arrives, Father, as he is preparing your word, Father, because we know what the adversary tries to do, Father, before it is time to bring forth your word, Father. So we ask that you bring him here speedily, but right on time, Father. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.